What's up, you guys? Welcome to the first official episode of Fictional Character Enthusiast. So as I mentioned in my little episode zero welcome thing, the first episode is going to be about Moxie. It's a Netflix movie that came out, I don't even know what day it came out. Could be today, could have been 3 days ago, I don't know. It's been a minute since I've been on Netflix. Listen, I don't know. I probably should. You know, let's look. What day did it come on Netflix? Because I don't know. Like, it's been days since I've... Okay, so I got the reminder yesterday. So, a day ago. Okay. That being said, it is 2:40 a.m. So, it's like technically the next day already. So, it could be 2 days ago. I don't know. My brain buffer. Anyways, so basically, it's a movie about this girl who, she kind of finds her mom's, old, protest things, you know? And then she kind of takes a look around her school, and she's like, wow, this is, really fucked up and sexist. I don't like it. I don't like it, you know? And so she makes a something zine. Can't even remember what the fucking word is. But basically, she's like, hey, bad bitches, let's fight this shit because it's gross and we don't like it. And so the girls just kind of come together and it's a beautiful story and we love it. And yeah, so I just kind of wanted to talk about it more because I love it. It's such a good movie. I love it. I will never stop saying I love it. Like, I literally watched it I finished watching it an hour ago and I just... I fucking love it, man. I love it. It's so good. It's actually what made me want to start the podcast tonight. Because I didn't even know when I was going to start it, you know. But then I watched this movie. And I was like, yeah, I want to make the first episode about this movie. So I hurried up and I recorded the welcome episode. And I uploaded it so I could start this episode talking about this movie. Because I love it. I love it. So immediately from watching the trailer, I knew I was gonna like the movie. I had hoped that they would, you know, live up to the trailer, and I believe they did. I think that Netflix did a great job on this movie. I truly do. I knew immediately from the trailer that I was gonna be in love with that boy, and if you've seen the trailer or seen the movie, you know what boy I'm talking about. I did not know his name from the trailer, so I was like, don't even know his name, but I know I love him. We find out in the movie rather quickly that his name is Seth, by the way, just BT dubs. So okay, let's just kind of go throughout the movie. So did I take notes? I mean, technically, I didn't take notes. I made a Twitter thread. Yeah, I live tweeted this shit. I did. So, I do have a Stan account on Twitter. Not gonna put the @. Not gonna. But I did live tweet watching this movie. So, these are my notes for the movie. So basically, right in the beginning, the movie opens up and she's in this nightmare, which I love how the nightmare kind of comes full circle. I love it. Because so the movie kind of opens up and she's running through the forest and everything, and then she goes to scream and no sound comes out. And then, you know, she shoots up in bed and everything, and then she immediately goes to her laptop, which is literally just sitting open at the edge of her bed. That was the first thing I tweeted about. I was like, this shit was just sitting on the edge of her bed. I could never. I would have kicked that shit off in the middle of the night. Especially having a nightmare. I would have kicked that shit off and broke it. On the edge of her bed. On the edge of her bed. Anyways. So then she gets up and everything, and she gets ready for school, and I was listen, if you watch it, you probably wouldn't even notice this, but I do, because, like, I'm big on, like, decorations and shit. I love her room. I love her room. Like, all the decorations on her wall, they're so nice and aesthetically pleasing and so pretty, and I love her room. I want her room. Like, that may sound stupid to some people, but for people like me, who like decorations and everything, who, like, never really got to decorate their walls and stuff, and never really had a lot of cool things to decorate their walls, like, I love her room. I do. You know? I love it. Next up, I just want to talk about, like, as soon as she walks up to school, there's, like, all these kids, like, half the fucking school is just hanging out in front of the building before classes, and they're just, like, all having a good time, like, it's Friday after school or something, and I just want to know, is that a real thing? Like, I just don't, like, maybe it's just me, like, and where I'm from. But I have never seen that in real life. Never. Like, I always see it in movies. Like, especially before school. Really? Like, 7, 8 in the morning, and you expect all these kids to be smiling and having a good old time in front of the school? Really? Okay. Like, it's just, it's not even the fact that, like, first of all, it's that early, okay? Second of all, they're all just, like, they're literally all just kind of, like, hanging around, talking and everything, and having a good old time in front of the school. What? Like, is that just, like, a thing that kids do? They just hang out in front of the school? Like, I just never understood that, you know? I don't, like, why? Why? Also, I love how in those scenes where they're, like, walking up to the school in the morning, the lighting is never correct. You know what I mean? Like, it's always, the lighting always looks like it's, like, noon, you know? When in reality, that shit's, like, 7 or 8 in the morning. Like, why is the sun so out? You know, and that's just, like, a little thing that's always annoyed me about, like, movies and shows and everything. And I just, like, could not stop thinking about that while I was watching that scene. Like, not even just about the kids out there, but just about the sun, too. Like, the lighting. Like, anyways. Another thing that really threw me off was, you know, it's kind of, like, on the bat, like, on the side of a scene, like, on the camera shot, you know? Just one of the high schoolers. This man is, like, 47, and he's just vibing there, and I'm like, Netflix ain't even trying no more to get all the extras to look like high schoolers, you know what I mean? Because, like, obviously, you know, Hollywood TV shows, movies, they're very, very known for casting, like, 20-something, 30-something-year-olds as high schoolers, but at least they could, like, okay, let's be honest, they could not pass as high schoolers, but, like, they have, like, I don't know what you want to call it, like, a youthful look to them, slightly, I guess, I don't know, like, but he just does not have it. Like, I'm looking at this picture, and I am haunted, because another thing, they dressed him up as, like, a goth dude, so, like, I don't know, like, he's, like, this, like, almost fit, like, almost, like, 40-something-year-old looking man, with, like, a very receding hairline. Like, a very receding hairline. With these headphones, and, like, all black, and, like, smudgy eyeliner around his eyes. Like, what? Like, he literally, gonna be in my nightmares tonight, honestly. Literally. And then, you know, throughout this movie, I love my little comments on this Twitter thread throughout this movie. Like, I truly, like, this movie is very much so good at making me hate the characters I'm meant to hate. You know what I mean? Like, I hate when shows and movies, like, there are characters that you're just meant to hate. But they, like, make you feel bad for them sometimes. Or, like, they make you want to feel bad for them. Like, that's why it's, like, I like characters where you're meant to hate them. And you just do. Like, they just let you. You know, it makes me think of, like, Haley in The Hate U Give. Like, we are meant to hate that bitch. And they let us hate that bitch. As they should. As they should. You know, and it's, like, people like Mitchell. Mitchell and his little buddy, who's so irrelevant, I don't even remember his name. It's also very hard to even remember Mitchell's name. I hate them all. Anyways, like, literally, the only men in this movie, the only man in this movie that has rights is fucking Seth. I mean, obviously, they're, like, the boys in the background kind of thing that, like, join in and everything, but they don't actually, like, speak or anything. Like, they have no lines. They are not, like, sorry about it, but you're irrelevant to this. But, like, any man in this, like, film that has lines, Seth is the one we love, okay? Seth is the only valid man in this movie. I mean, okay, the teacher, like, kind of has a redeeming moment at the end of the film, but, like, he was honestly, like, throughout the movie, he was just so dumb, because he was, like, you know, just not wanting to get into it, and not really, like, like, not wanting to, like, jeopardize his job and shit, which, like, I get not wanting to jeopardize your job, but, like, the way he, like, went about, like, speaking and shit was so stupid. Like, the way, like, you sound dumb, sir. Anyways, like, obviously he's meant to sound dumb and everything. And, like, I'm glad that he, like, fucking came around at the end and, like, pulled his head out of his ass. But it was just very much so, like, I don't know. Like, literally throughout the movie, like, my big thing in my brain was, like, why do men speak? Like, /J, but also, like, /Jen. Because, like, it's kind of, like, a jokingly, like, why do men speak? But also, like, genuinely, like, why do we let men speak? Like, why is that a thing that we do? Like, cause like, especially this movie just reminded me that, like, there are so many men that are genuinely like the people in this movie. And it makes me just so livid inside. So getting into one of the characters, another one besides Seth that we love, Lucy. So Lucy is a new student, and we love her. Fierce queen popping off from the minute she gets there. Truly. Mitchell starts harassing her and annoying her and being a little dick. And immediately she's like, nah, 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 nah. See, we don't play by this shit. This ain't how this finna go. And honestly, as she should. As she should, because the girls at the school are just so, like, just, you know, keep your head down and deal with it, because nobody else is gonna listen. Nobody's gonna do anything about it. And Lucy comes in and she lights the fucking flame. Like, she immediately, like, she lights this big flame within Vivian, our main character, which I don't even think I've said her name yet. Oops, sorry about it. Like, obviously a big part of it is, like, when she finds her mom's old protesting stuff. But, like, an even bigger part of it is when she sees, like, what Lucy is saying. And the things that Lucy says to her, you know, when Vivian goes, like, to Lucy to apologize about Mitchell, and she's like, he's just, you know, annoying. And she's like, he's more than annoying. Annoying can be code for something worse. And Vivian's just kind of like, well, if you just kind of keep your head down, then he'll just move on and bother someone else. And Lucy says to her, no, I'm going to keep my head up high, which that just kind of, like, brought a memory forth in her brain of a song called Rebel Girl by Bikini Kill that her mother used to play and sing to her. And that's what led her to, you know, go into her mother's old protesting stuff and then make Moxie. Ugh, we love Moxie. Also, can I just say, she is so, like, artistically talented. Like, the collage of, like, Moxie and everything that she made, ugh, so good. Chef's kiss, honestly. It was so good. Like, I don't know, like, how else to say it. It's just chef's kiss. Fanzine, that is in fact the word. I literally looked it up because that's what I thought it was, but I wasn't for sure. Big stupid, I am. Yup, yup. And also, oh my god, another thing I found out that I was not expecting, my jaw about hit the floor. Clark Gregg is in this movie? Clark Gregg is in this movie? Oh my god. Bruh, okay, for those of you who don't know Clark Gregg, oh my god. Phil Coulson, y'all, let's pour one out for Phil Coulson. Oh my god. I'm a big, like, Marvel fan, Marvel nerd, so, like, I love all these just sighs you hear me do. Phil Coulson, ugh, what a legend. We love Clark Gregg. We truly do. Also, another thing about Seth. This man, oh, I know I'm truly jumping around and everything. This is just how my brain works. I'm slowing it down for you all because my brain works at like a million miles a minute, but I'm slowing it down, but I can't help it that I jump around. I apologize. I'm sorry, but it's just how it's going. So this man, let's just list off the qualities we know about this man so far, okay? His name is Seth. Super good looking, like super hot, but also like super cute and adorable. You know what I mean? Awkward, but like adorably awkward. You know what I mean? Yeah. Tall. Well, I mean, he's what I consider like pretty like average height, slightly above average height, you know? I think he's tall. I don't know. But not that like height is like a big thing that matters. I'm just like describing. Has style, right? Wears rings and a chain bracelet. And he's good at skateboarding. Like, really good at skateboarding. I'm in love with him. Like, I love him. I don't know what else to say, honestly. I love him. He's just the best. He's the best. And then, so we keep going, and it's like, here's my thing. So as, like, the next part of the movie comes, it's like a little scene where we continue to see Mitchell literally harassing Lucy. Like, that's what we're seeing. We're seeing Mitchell harass her. Like, this man literally, she pays for her soda from the vending machine. And she goes to grab it, and he gets angry that she's, like, turning him down and stuff. He hits the vending machine violently, grabs her pop, her soda, opens it up, and spits inside of it. When I tell you that I would be suspended for throwing hands, oh my god. She had so much more self-control than I do, because the way that I would have swung the second his spit entered my can. That sounds so bad, but like, when I said that, that sounds so bad. But like, the second he spit into the pop, oh, I would have socked him. I would have just, right across the face. And I would have been suspended for fighting. And I would have been glad. I would have been fine with it. Because it's what he deserves. Because that, it's just so gross. Like, what? Like, it's so, like, not even just the fact that, like, that's such a fucked up thing to do, but, like, if you think about it, like, even before the whole, like, COVID-19, like, pandemic thing happened, and, like, you know, being careful and social distancing and everything, like, before all of that happened, like, that's still such a gross thing to do. Spit into someone's drink. Like, there's a reason why, like, we use that as, like, a big thing of, like, oh, waiters getting back at, like, terrible customers spitting in their food. Like, it's a gross fucking thing. It's disgusting. Right? And then he just, it's so gross. And then you have the added layer of, like, living through a pandemic of, like, COVID-19 and everything. And then you imagine someone spitting in someone's drink and, like, I want to light myself on fire. You know, like, I just, nope. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. And I can't deal with it. And then, oh my god. And then, so she goes to Lucy. She goes to the principal. And this woman is so insufferable. I literally hate her. She literally, when she gets told that Lucy literally says, I'm being harassed by Mitchell and I don't feel safe, she literally basically says, like, hey, you're not being harassed, you're being just bothered by him, you know, because if you're being harassed, I have to do all this stuff and he's the captain of the football team, but if you're being bothered by him, then we can have a conversation and we can work this out amongst ourselves, you know, like, I understand moving to a new school is, like, emotional and blah 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 and blah 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 blah. Like, she's literally just the worst. Like, how she got, like, a best principal award or whatever the fuck she had on her desk. Like, how she got that, I don't know. Because, no. Like, she sucks ass. Like, she's so disgusting. She's such a bad principal. And, like, she, you could, the, like, I get how it's, like, meant to be like this, but, oh my god, the hero worship for the football team is so, especially Mitchell and his little sidekick, who I still can't think of the name of because he's so irrelevant that, like, I just can't even think of it. But, like, the hero worship is absolutely disgusting. Let's be honest here. And then they have this pep rally thing for the football game, even though they, like, always lose. And they have legitimate cardboard faces, like gigantic cardboard faces for Mitchell, like for that dickhead. And it's the fact that it's not even like the school that, like, it's not even like, you know, the cheerleaders holding them or anything like that, you know? Like, it's the audience. It's the students. Like, they made, like, can we just think about that for a second? They made cardboard cutouts of his face, the captain of a football team that loses most of the time. Is that a joke? Like, I don't get where this hero worship for football teams, like, comes from, you know, in, like, these movies and shows and stuff. Like, I truly don't get it. Like, is that a thing in actual places? Because it sure as shit ain't at my school. Like, is the whole, like, jock worship thing? Like, is that an actual thing places? Or is that just actually, like, just, like, a trope? Like, I hope it is, because that's so scary. Like, I know that there's places, like, you know, colleges and stuff where, you know, things like this happen, you know, where it's, like, the hero worship for the school's, you know, jocks and athletes and everything. But I feel like it's very different from high school, because it's, like, with colleges, for some reason, you know, because they actually, like, compete, they, like, are more of gods or something, which is so fucked up to me, and I just, makes me want to puke. But, like, high school, oh, my phone just fell. If you heard that, that's what that was. But it's, like, with high school, there is no reason to have that hero worship. I mean, there's no reason either way. But, like, there's truly, like, you sound dumb. Like, if that's actually a thing, a hero worship thing with jocks in high school, that's so dumb. Like, you sound so dumb. To let guys get away with something like that. Just because they play sports, I don't understand. And it's like, to make matters worse, they don't even win. They don't even win. And that's not to say that, like, if they did win, it would be okay, because it's not. No matter what, it is not okay. But it's like, you think about it, and it's like, they genuinely, like, that trope of, like, the, you know, the teenage jocks and everything's getting away with things because they're athletes. I just, it's so, very much so, not, like, beneficial at all, ever. Like, because I know it's, like, a real thing that, you know, like, teenage boys are more, like, get away with more stuff, and, like, you know, like, teenage, you know, white boys get away with more stuff than, you know, boys of color and everything, and I know that there's, like, very much so differences in the way that, you know, people are, you know, students are punished and everything, and I understand that, but it's, like, hero worshiping these jocks, whether it's high school or college, is just so wildly just soul crushing at this point, because you think about, like, all of the instances that you don't even hear about, you know, that don't end up on the news, you know, and it's just, like, there are so many every day that don't end, like, there are ones that end up on the news, you know, because they're more, like, more serious actions were taken, you know, like, there's rapes, and there's sexual assaults, and there's all these different types of things that like end up in the news. But there are so many instances every day that don't end up in the news. And I feel like this trope, when you put the trope like that in movies and stuff, I feel like this movie did a very good job of like, what am I even trying to say? I feel like this movie did a very good job of not, I don't want to say like romanticizing, like not making it seem like this is like normal, okay. Because in the beginning of the movie, it is very much so a normalized thing. And as like, you know, as the movie goes on, this whole movie is about, you know, these girls kind of realizing that like, we don't have to be okay with this. And we don't have to stand for this, and we can make a change. We can make it stop. And I feel like there are a lot of like movies and shows and everything that have this trope of like the jock worship and the jock, like them like getting away with everything because they're jocks and everything and all that. And they like completely just take it a different direction. Like it's not about, you know, the girls overcoming it or basically being like, fuck you, I don't have to deal with this shit. It's like, there's just no consequences for them at all. And I feel like that is not beneficial at all, especially when it's many, many teenagers that watch these shows and movies. Like, for a boy watching it, it's like, oh, haha, you know, like, that's so, I like that guy, I want to be like that guy, you know what I mean? Like, he gets away with this. And for girls, it's like, you see that, and it's just kind of like, oh, yeah, that's just kind of how it is. And it's like, with a movie like this, it's so great, you know, being able to see it, like, see that trope and see it go the right direction of the girls kind of like standing up and saying like, we don't have to deal with this, we don't have to take your shit, fuck you, like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, ugh, I just love it. I just love this movie, you know, like, I just love this movie. Anyways, I'm sorry I went on like such a long tangent about that. Oh my god. Anyways, so what happened next was, like, after this pep rally, see, like I said, jumping all around. So back to this pep rally, where they have the cardboard cutouts of his face. They uploaded a list. And so this list had been, like, talked about, like, briefly throughout the beginning of the movie. About, like, they talked about a few of the rankings, where it's, you know, like, most bangable, like, best ass, best tits, stuff like that. Just really, like, degrading, terrible stuff, you know? Obviously this list made by the boys, mostly, you know, the football boys, Mitchell and his buds. I mean, they're all Mitchells, really, let's think about that. And so basically Vivian gets added to the list this year. Most obedient, which is also like, yeah, that's just what the fuck. Anyways, but so does Lucy. And they didn't show us, like, the words on screen like they did for everyone else of what she was on the list. Because they added a new category for her. And they called her a C-U-N-T. And I don't want to say that word on here. So, yeah, that's what they called her. And the fact that they would call her that, and she brought it over to the principal and showed the principal what they called her, and the principal did nothing. Yet again, useless principal. Yet again. I honestly hate her so much. And I just, like, the thought about, you know, like, a list like that, if that were to ever happen at my school, as I said before, I would get suspended for fighting people. I truly would. Like, I know, like, that's a big trope kind of thing, you know, in high school movies and shows, of like, ooh, I don't know if you just heard me crack my knuckles in the background. Yeah. Anyways, sorry, that was, anyways, like, I know, the, like, the list is kind of, like, a big thing, you know, like, the hot or not, or, like, you know, the, like, the best blah, blah, things like that and everything. Like, it just, honestly, I can't even imagine that happening, like, in real life, you know? Like, it just kind of baffles me that that's a thing that, like, might happen in real life places. I don't think so, but at the same time, teenage boys are stupid, you know what I mean? And also, some girls are mean to each other, so, like, I don't know, it's entirely likely, although I wish it wasn't. And just the thought of that just kind of makes me like, what the fuck? Like, what is wrong with people, you know? But so after that day, that's when, you know, she goes home and she makes Moxie. And she kind of puts it around school. And at first, it's not really like, the gasoline has been poured. But, you know, the spark, the match hasn't really been lit yet. And then, you know, after, like, a day or whatever, you know, more girls are reading about it and stuff. And so in the first Moxie, she wrote that, like, if you support it, draw stars and hearts on your hands. You know, just kind of like a little thing, you know, for the girls. And for the supportive guys who aren't bitches. To say, like, hey, you know, I'm with you. And I, yeah, that kind of thing. And obviously Moxie's anonymous right now. Nobody knows it's her. But, so, you know, she kind of goes to school with the hearts and stars on her arms. And she doesn't really see a lot of people with them at first. And so she goes to the bathroom to try and wash them off because, you know, she's, like, she's scared. Because, you know, they're, like, Mitchell had found this pamphlet thing in class. He had taken it from Lucy and he knew about it. And he had told his little bud, who I still can't remember his name because he's that irrelevant. I still cannot remember his name. He is so irrelevant. Oh my God, that's so funny. But anyways, so, like, they knew about it. And so she went to wash it off because she was really nervous because she didn't want to be targeted, you know, if she was the only one. And then while she's doing it, these two girls come out of the stalls who are on the soccer team, Kiara. And I'm so sorry, I cannot remember the other girl's name, and I feel so bad about it because she's such a bad bitch. I'm so sorry, ma'am. But they come out of the stalls and they were like, nice hands, you know? And she looked over and saw that they had the hearts and stars on their hands too. And she was kind of like, thanks. And, you know, and they just kind of smiled at each other. And it was just such a cute moment that I just love so much because it was kind of like she immediately kind of stopped trying to wash them off. Because, you know, it was just kind of a moment of solidarity, like, hey, you know, we're all in this together. Like, all, like, you know, we got to stick together and you're not alone. And I just thought that was so, oh, so sweet, so cute. And I loved it a lot. And it was, I feel like, a very important scene. I feel like it's a big thing that kind of helped her keep going with Moxie, you know? Because then after that, you know, more girls started doing the hearts and stars on their hands. And then, you know, during her class, you know, we see a hand reach out with rings and a chain bracelet and hearts and stars on the hand, and then it just kind of goes up the arm to Seth. And I, wow, you know, like, it's like kind of sort of like the bare minimum, you know what I mean? Like, wow, supporting women, like, it's kind of the bare minimum, but at the same time, it's like the men we see in this movie, oh my God. And then Seth, like a breath of fresh air, honestly. Truly a breath of fresh air. He's just the best. The best. And so, as, like, kind of time goes on, there's different situations of, like, for instance, the principal comes into the classroom and she basically calls out dress code on a girl who is wearing a tank top because she has bigger boobs, right? And so the girl sitting next to her is wearing practically the exact same thing, but she has smaller boobs than her. You know, she's not showing, like, there's not as much, like, cleavage, I guess, boobage, whatever you want to say, like, boobage, I don't know, it's your choice of word. But, you know, and she basically told her, like, hey, you need a sweater, you need to cover up. And when she gets told that, like, the girl doesn't have a sweater, she says, come with me, and she literally sends her home. Like, rather than asking someone else if they had a sweater or anything, or rather just leaving the situation alone at all and letting the girl learn, she makes her go home. Like, yet again, useless fucking principal. Like, you just... How she ever won that Best Principal Award, I do not understand! Like, I don't understand it, and I just... What the fuck? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So, like... Once we've hit the whole thing of, like, that, after that happens, Vivian, I think I've only said her name, like, one other time in this entire thing. I'm so sorry, Vivian. I am so sorry. Anyways, Vivian goes out and she makes another Moxie. And this time, she does a thing where it's, like, in support of this girl and the unfair dress code restrictions, they all wear tank tops this time instead of just drawing the hearts and stars on their hands. And I loved it. I love these, like, moves of solidarity that are happening. You know, it's not just like, oh, she publishes the fanzine and the girls, like, you know, we see the girls whispering about it and talking about it and everything. Like, it's actual, like, you know, if you support or if you stand in solidarity, you know, like, do this. And it's, like, something that, you know, shows that, like, for the girls and, you know, some of the boys who know what's going on, it just kind of shows, like, hey, we're with each other, we're sticking together, you know, like, we stand together in this. And I think that's nice. I think that's beautiful. I mean, like, period. I love it. I love it. Right? And so, then, throughout this entire movie, there's, like, been little, like, through the announcements and stuff in school, there's been talking about, like, getting, like, nominating people for this, like, sports scholarship award thing, where you get, like, $10,000 to go towards, like, any, like, academic thing or whatever the fuck, like, for sports or whatever that you want to do. Didn't really pay attention. Sports, not really my thing. Anyways, it's, like, a $10,000 reward, basically, to go towards college for sports. And, like, Mitchell was, like, of course, gonna be the only one nominated. And, like, literally, at the game where they announced the nomination, the girls were basically like, why is it just him? So they nominate Kiara. And is it Kiara or is it Kira? I am so terrible. I'm so sorry. I don't know. Anyways, but they nominate her, which, period, it's what she deserves, you know? And so, after the game, fucking Seth brings Vivian on this little, like, hangout date thing to a funeral home, which was, like, weirdly actually kind of cute. Like, it was actually, like, I say this and it sounds so weird, like, a funeral home, kind of cute, what the fuck? But if you watch it, like, it's actually weirdly kind of cute. And, like, they're both very, like, awkward and everything, so it's also, like, so them, and I don't know, I just loved it. Like, I loved it. And then, you know, he brings her home, you know, they kiss, it's great. Boyfriend and girlfriend, good times. And then, you know, there's just, like, a lot of just, like, real cute things, like, celebrations and solidarity, and I just think it's really great. And then, another, like, the next big thing that happens is they literally, I will never get over this, they gave Mitchell time to speak on air of, like, their little announcements thing, which they, like, record, and they have, like, TVs in every classroom that, like, do it and everything live, which also doesn't make sense to me because, like, they have this, like, little recording studio thing with, like, these bougie-ass cameras and everything and all this stuff to record it live. but yet they got these ancient ass TVs in the classroom. Like, how that shit get to it live? How does it get to it live? I don't understand. Like, it's not actual, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not, like, an actual, like, smart TV or anything like that. Or it's not, like, they're brought, like, something that can get, like, a broadcast type thing. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how the fuck they do it. But, okay. Let's just, like, pretend that's not a hole right there. Like, what the fuck? How the fuck does that work? Anyways. Then there's a note. Okay, basically, before we talk about the note, we should probably get into it more of, like, basically, Vivian kind of starts to, like, fall apart a little bit. Because after that happens, after the principal lets Mitchell go on air, and Kiara wasn't, I keep saying Kiara, but I think it's Kira. After Kiara didn't get to go on air, they were like, that's fucked up. And so while Mitchell was on air, he was basically like, I'm the victim. I'm being bullied by Moxie. And they not even saying who they are. Like, you know what we call that? That's weak and blah, blah, blah. And so Bad Bitch went out and made stickers that just like, you're an asshole, XOXO Moxie. Love that shit. And they basically put them like literally everywhere. Like literally everywhere. And her bestie Claudia got suspended for it, which we haven't even talked about Claudia, because Claudia is like kind of irrelevant but kind of not. Like, I don't even know, man. Like, they're besties and everything, but then once she starts getting into Moxie and getting new friends and everything, like, Claudia gets a little distant and kind of gets like a little weird. And I was like, what the fuck is this? You know, like, why is she acting like this? But then I kind of understood, you know, like, she, you know, she has, you know, with her mother and her own thing, like, she has her own set of rules that she kind of has to live by, I guess. Like, she can't be so, like, up in it and, like, reckless, like, and, like, protest kind of thing, you know, with, like, all of that. So she kind of takes a different route. And when they put up signs for Kiara's campaign for running for this nominee thing, for this award, and she noticed the principal and the janitor taking them down, she like signed up Moxie as like an official club, and she put her name on it and everything, so that way they would be able to put up the signs and they wouldn't get taken down. And she kind of went to Vivian and she's like, you know, I care, and like, I, you know, I support the cause, but you just kind of, you gotta let me show it in like my own way, you know, because it's, there's like, especially like with the tank top thing, like, she was going to wear the tank top, but her mother saw her trying to leave in it and was not happy. But anyways, you know, she's kind of like, she's kind of irrelevant, but also, like, not irrelevant. I just kind of, like, literally forgot to mention her. Like, but she got suspended for it, and then Vivian's just kind of like, my life is falling apart. And then she basically kind of sees a note that was left in the bathroom to Moxie, and a girl wrote an anonymous note saying that last year she had been raped, and that she didn't come forward or anything because, you know, she didn't know like what to say, what would happen. She didn't want anybody to know it was her. And, you know, Moxie like seems to be like, people are listening, things like are actually being done. And so she's kind of like, from one anonymous person to another, you know, I was hoping you could help. And she, Bad Bitch Vivian, brings red paint to the school and writes on the little, like, the steps of the school, The way she spelled it was a little weird, but, like, well, it's not the way she spelled it. It's just the way it looks all put together, you know? So, it's... I had to do the spelling in my head because I'm stupid. So, it's, like, R-A-P-E... No, that's not how it is. I'm so fucking stupid. Wait. Basically, it, like, if you put them together, it's like rape and report, the two words. So it's like those, like, yeah. And so it's like report or whatever, you know, is, yeah, is, anyways, it, she did it in red paint, and then she took the like best principal award or whatever that she stole from the office, that I forgot to mention she stole, but she did, which was fucking hilarious, and she threw it against the school and broke it, and then she took a picture and posted it online on the Moxie Girls account, and basically said, like, hey, let's, you know, like, this is just, you know, she mentioned the note, she's like, this is not okay, and if you're gonna stand in solidarity, you know, walk out of the attendance bell. And they literally staged a walkout, which was honestly just beautiful, you know what I mean? Like, that's just such a beautiful thing, you know, watching them all, like, yeah, just, ugh, it was beautiful. And the teacher finally has his moment of getting his head out of his ass, where he read the little thing of, like, you know, if you leave, like, you're subjected to be, like, suspended, expelled, whatever, you know, punishment. And he kind of did this little thing because he didn't want to, like, make it obvious. He's like, I support you because I don't want to lose my job. So he said, like, I'm wiping my hands clean of it. And he kind of rubbed his hands together and he put his hands up kind of as if, like, you know, like the hands up, don't shoot kind of thing. Like, he put his hands up. That was, like, a really bad reference, but it's the only thing I could think of to make you understand, like, putting his hands up like that, you know? And he had a heart on one palm and a star on the other. And I thought it was really beautiful, just kind of like showing that and then cutting to the girls, the little smiles on the girls' faces. Just kind of like the recognition. I just thought that was really beautiful. And then a second later, the bell rings and they all get up and walk out of class. And then it's just kind of like seeing all these women and some boys running out of class and walking out of the school, and, you know, seeing some, like, recording and everything and, like, live streaming, and, like, it was just really, just really cool and really powerful. And then they all just kind of went outside, and she stood up and she's like, listen, like, I'm not a leader, that's not who I am, but it's just, it's not right, you know, that's why we're here, that's why we're doing this, that's why I started Moxie in the first place. And, you know, like, everybody's all surprised and everything, and her friends are proud of her, like, period, as they should be. And then Emma, who got voted most bangable, which, oh, just boils my blood, who I've never really mentioned throughout this movie at all, but she's, like, Mitchell's ex-girlfriend, she admits that the note was from her. And so, you know, she kind of gets up on this little bench thing that Vivian was standing on to kind of just speak her truth and speak out about what happened to her. And, you know, and Vivian, I love how Vivian immediately understands that, like, this is no longer her moment. And she steps down off the bench almost immediately when she realizes that, like, this is Emma's moment and this is Emma's place and she's going to speak her truth. And I love that, how she immediately stepped down after that. And I love that. And, you know, she talks about how, trigger warning, she talks about how Mitchell raped her after prom the year before, when he was her boyfriend, in her own bedroom. And then he put her on a list and voted her most bangable, which is so unbelievably disgusting that I want to chop someone's fucking dick off. Why do we allow men to do anything? Why do we allow men to speak? Why do we allow men to literally exist? I don't understand. Anyways, But, you know, and then so they all just kind of support her, and it's a really beautiful scene. And then after that, they kind of just continue with this, with letting people kind of stand up on the bench and say what they want to say. And it's honestly really beautiful. Like, it truly is. It's really, really beautiful. And that's just kind of how the movie ends. And it's wonderful, and it's great, and I love the movie. I love it a lot. Wow, I'm looking down at my phone, and I really talked about this movie for 50 minutes. 50 minutes! Holy shit. Cannot believe, honestly, that I got to, like, almost the full 1 hour mark. Was not expecting that. Thought this was gonna be, like, maybe half an hour. Maybe. Like, wow. Truly goes to show, like, how much I can talk about something. Like, I can probably go on for longer if I really, you know, wanted to stretch it out. I could go on for longer. But I'm also kind of glad, you know, thinking about how, like, you know, these, because the limit for segments is 60 minutes. And I guess eventually going forward, I might do, like, different segments of, like, the intro and, like, talking about, you know, different parts and everything. I might do different segments, but for right now, at least, they're all probably just going to be one segment. So kind of as a guarantee that, like, no episode is going to be longer than 60 minutes, but that is also not a guarantee, because there might be an episode where I talk about, like, different parts of something, or, like, more in depth or whatever, or it might just be something that I have a lot more to say about, so it might be longer than an hour. I don't, you know, expect that things will be longer than an hour, but it might just end up happening at some point. So yeah, that's just kind of throwing that out there. For the most part, you can expect them to not be longer than an hour, but there might be one every now and then that is. So I can't guarantee that they won't be longer than an hour, but I can guarantee that not all of them will be. Ooh, don't know if you heard that, but I just hit the mic on my headset. Yeah, so as you can tell, I keep saying and like yeah and stuff like that, because I don't really know what to say from here. I enjoyed the movie. Like, 9.5 out of 10. Twas great. Loved it. Would recommend 100%. Moxie on Netflix. Go watch it. And yeah. Peace.